Okay.
Love
15 minutes show again because I just got back.
Wow.
I'm there.
Woo. I can't believe it.
I'm at it. I'm controlling this show from my Kindle.
Wow. It's working awesome.
I know. And my other computer-rated devices. We're not cooperating.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. So, anyway, and I didn't get a chance to change the show to 30 minutes, so we have another short show this week.
Okay.
Yeah, and we could maybe even do a continuation of what we were doing last time, but, you know, I've discovered some kind of interesting software this week, and that we've actually instituted into our movie role play. It's our Emoti Meter, which is very exciting. You know, I'm just so excited that
today. I really thought that the audience would get behind that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought we'd kind of talk about what the value of measuring someone's emotional connections are, especially in a corporate environment where that's kind of a front, you know, talking about someone's emotions, but, you know, there's a whole practice around emotional intelligence and what that measures. And so, you know, I think that's an area that people are just now thinking about. I know there's been a lot of buzz around brain-based learning, which to me is like, well, what other kind is there, you know?
Foot-based learning. Oh,
what?
Okay.
What? Oh, okay. I didn't know I was using my brain for that. But, you know, just around acknowledging the fact that there are cognitive things that physically happen in the brain when you do certain types of connections through a learning experience or some type of physical activity or simulation or just reading something, you know. So it goes back to kind of that, the, you know, kinesthetic versus visual versus auditory-based learning. You know, it's just how people make those connections. So I think there needs to be also some research around the human emotional side of what happens in learning. And so I found a study recently that we're incorporating into a white paper that we're writing about, that people will identify or guess what your personality is based upon hearing your voice.
Hmm.
And the study was done in Edinburgh or some university in Scotland, where they took people. Yeah, right. And
I'm kidding, of course. I'm just sorry.
And all they did was let people listen to someone saying hello. That was it. One word, and then they had them evaluate them on, I think it was like five. They had some special scientific name for these personality characteristics, but they had them evaluate on five of those traits, and they were 92% accurate.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's kind of scary, right?
That's really fascinating.
But, you know, you think about just the exchanges. So that's kind of first impression type stuff.
And trusting your first impression.
And trusting
literally,
your first
forcing
impression.
Yourself to trust your first impression.
So do you think, though, this would be an interesting, do you think people modify their voice to fit who they are or vice versa?
Oh, I think their voice naturally reflects who they are.
Okay.
Am I right or wrong?
I don't know, but there's another study that's like, oh, and you're the grand prize winner.
Yay.
So this other study we found showed that the top female CEOs' voices measured closely to what the top male CEO's voice, like vocal energy and voice style, kind of, not saying they were sounding like men, but their authentic voice was in a certain tonality that carries different characteristics that represent leadership and authority and those types of things. So I almost think that you can change your voice to match the level of influence you're trying to have.
I totally agree.
A situation. you know, and so I was just at this funeral this week, and this woman steps up to the podium to read something, and she's probably late 50s, but out of her voice comes this little girl voice.
Wow.
I'm
rising,
like, whoa,
right?
whoa. It's like Georgette. Remember Georgette?
Yeah, sure. From the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Mary Tyler Moore, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so you think when you hear that voice that she's kind of an airhead, right?
Kind of Marilyn Monroe voice, too. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Very breathy.
So now we have software that can measure your temperament, your composure, and then it'll give you a primary and secondary personality, like you're feeling happy, sad. What level of emotional state are you in at that time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're thinking that this will help people identify in a simulated context what emotions they're feeling, or in a, let's say, an employee engagement survey. And you think about, you ask them, there's a lot of things that ask them questions relative to, are you happy at work? Do you like your boss? But if you could actually also measure your vocal biofeedback and capture that in an audible response, would it match what they're saying?
Right.
It should be an interesting question.
I think it's fascinating. All of these, is the right term, could I say, kind of, it feels like I should say biometric, but it's not. All this audio evaluation analysis pieces, it seems like, boy, interrogation would be a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Interviewing would be a great time.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about the transition, like you were mentioning at the beginning, of how emotions sometimes in the workplace are something that's kind of frowned upon, or there's certain emotions that are workplace acceptable and some aren't. But from a customer perspective, understanding those emotions, understanding maybe in a test group setting when you're
mm-hmm.
testing a new product, really applying what people are saying and the emotions they're feeling, are we getting at the emotional level that we're hoping that this product will connect with this person, this group, this target, this you know, who you're marketing it to, could be really valuable. As just
right.
another dot
right.
point, not to be solely relied upon as the end-all, be-all, but to build into that data package of, is this working, is this going to be successful, is this not,
mm-hmm.
really cool abilities that this tool has.
Right. And you know, so there are other, I found another, because we're calling it Emoti Meter, and we're
mm-hmm.
sending that, we're trying to get a trademark on it, and then the trademark search came up that there's an emotion emotional temperature, and basically I found the company that makes this, and they make, there's visual characters that, you know,
mm-hmm.
like when you take a little kid to the doctor and they say, look at this chart of faces, point to the one that the pain level you're feeling right now, you know?
Right, we're talking like emoticon kind of shorthand for children that can't, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So they're using something similar as far as they would show you a picture of a product or a commercial, a print commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would have you, there's like three different character sets that had different variances in their facial expressions.
Sure.
And so, you know, and they've proven this scientifically that it does the same thing. So I'm thinking, well, wow, if you paired that up with verbal,
right.
you know, it'd be interesting to see if the two match, because the person's making the selection. Versus the software isn't asking you to pick anything. It's just taking your natural voice tonality in audio files, not looking at anything, any of the words you're saying, and gives a biofeedback reading of what really is the underpinning mood that you're
emotion.
In.
Emotion. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. I think that's so fascinating. I know we've talked about this before, maybe not on this show specifically, but the idea of having a mental, like a call line where somebody could call in and you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm having some trouble, maybe a suicide line too, but something like that where people can call in and the person listening and providing feedback can see and ascertain if what they're saying is helping that person, doing it in real time, like you said the call centers are kind of interested in, and
right,
really
right.
helping the person get to the right level of support that they need, even if they can't verbally communicate, maybe the words are very innocuous, but the emotional level behind that, which is what that tool is giving you, really could help be routed to the right place. And you
right.
know, here are some people that could you could work with, or here's some centers.
And you wonder
you could go to
if
work.
Handicapped people, like people with autism that can't always express their emotions.
Interesting.
I wonder if it
would
pick up. Yeah, I wonder if it would really pick up their true. You know, I'm in pain, or people that aren't verbal, they can't like
right.
speak words, but have can say sounds.
Right, because that's all this is looking for.
Right. So yeah, lots of very interesting avenues to explore in the future, and I think that as more kind of people, because of technology, I think
yeah.
we're going to seek out more of these ways to measure an emotional connection. Just to say, okay, we're still human beings, right? You know, let's
right.
make sure we're still on track with, you know, being in touch with one another and making sure that we're still making that human connection. And so that's kind of why I'm excited about this, because we have technology that humanizes an experience
yeah.
that you can have through, blends both a technology component but a human element as well, because even in our current platform where we actually use a real voice, it's not a robot voice that you're having this exchange with. It was a real person. So you feel this level of connection, even though it's a simulation, you feel like you're really engaged in that conversation. So,
right.
And then
right.
now being able to actually measure, well, how did you feel in that situation? Well, let me show you. So, yeah, it's going to be real fun to play around with. And our developer, he is so jazzed about stuff.
That is
oh
awesome
God.
To have your developer be jazzed. You know, I can't.
Oh, I know.
I can't say how many times that's not the case. But it's
right,
lovely
right.
to have somebody so enthusiastic about. We could do this. We could do that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He
you
is
turn
totally,
him on.
It's like, oh, he's like, I wish I could just work on this stuff all the time. This is so much fun. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, if I had an endless pot of cash. Sure. Yeah, you know, I could have you working all the time.
But creativity, he's gonna. You know, no, because you know. We're all that way. You're touching him on an emotional level that's
mm-hmm.
getting him excited and getting him thinking and making his brain light up. And, you know, that's...
Yeah, so imagine
awesome.
Everybody feeling that way about where they work.
Right.
So wouldn't
yeah,
you
yeah,
want
to
know
do
that?
This.
Wouldn't you want to know
right.
that if people are excited about their job, or what would make them feel more excited or be more committed and, you know, not so be hung up on... who they're working with, or the processes, or the regulations around, you know, I mean, what's getting in their way of being happy about what they do?
Right.
Is what you really want to figure out. And obviously, hopefully happy employees or more productive employees, which also conveys that to, I was just watching Off the Boat or whatever that show's called.
Oh, right.
And he's opening a restaurant and he's telling his wife, because she's all being nitpicky about how many straws people use and whatnot. He's like, no, happy employees make happy customers, you know, and that's
true.
So true. It's it definitely has a cause and effect around the more you feel good about where you work and the work that you're doing, that's going to be reflective of who you're interacting with on a customer level.
Absolutely. That's the case in so many ways. And the other thing I think that happens also in those situations is you build a much more robust communication between your employees and the managers, the owners, and that kind of thing, because
right.
they feel comfortable to say, hey, wouldn't it be great if we did this, or this really isn't working for me, or I would, you know, being engaged and having those kinds of conversations, wow, as an owner of a business,
mm-hmm.
isn't that awesome?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Oh, these things this person's really jazzed at. Let's give them more things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, well said. Well said.
So, thank you so much.
Well, that wraps it up for another quick show of Training Tech Talk. And again, if you have any ideas or people that you want us to have as a guest on the show, send me an email, nancy@knowledgeshift.net, and we'll be happy to entertain all suggestions.
Yes.
So thank you once again, Allison.
Hey, thank you, Nancy. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too.